Touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord, the wonders of your love. And touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear, Lord, the voice of the one I love. Come in my heart, Lord, that I might feel, Lord, oh, the peace and the joy I need. Oh, keep me on my knees in a humble plea for a closer walk with thee. Oh, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord, oh, the wonders of your love. And touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear, Lord, oh, the voice of the one I love. Come in my heart, Lord, that I might feel, Lord, oh, the peace and the joy I need. Oh, keep me on my knees in a humble plea for a closer walk with thee. Oh, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord, the wonders of your love. And touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear, Lord, oh, the voice of the one I love. Come in my heart, Lord, that I might feel, Lord, oh, the peace and the joy that I need. Oh, keep me on my knees in a humble for a closer walk with thee. Oh, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord, oh, the wonders of your love. And touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear, Lord, oh, the voice of the one that I love. Come in my heart, Lord, that I might feel, Lord, and joy that I need. Oh, keep me on my knees in a humble plea for a closer walk with thee. Oh, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, Lord, oh, the wonders of your love. And touch my ears, Lord, oh, that I might hear, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you. Glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord,
I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Lord, I want to go.
Take me by the hand and lead me on. Oh,
Spirit we felt today, and I appreciate Brother Smith's good words today. And 10 years ago when I moved to Conway, I filed bankruptcy on my credit cards because I didn't have a job the first 2 months I was up there. And I said, I'll never fall for that gimmick again. So a year or two later, I kept getting these offers through the mail. And I told somebody at work, I said, why? But they keep sending me offers for credit cards when I file for bankruptcy. He said, well, they know that you can't file again for 7 years. So 3 years after I filed for bankruptcy, I took the bait again and got in debt on credit cards. So now that I've had car trouble, I'm going to have to pay my sister back. And so I'm going to file bankruptcy on my credit card. So I hope, for God's sake, I never fall for that scheme again. I remember Brother Smith, a few years ago, he said, you need to get out of debt. but it's easier to hear than it is to put it into practice. So anyway, I wish you, you know, if you can, I hope I've learned my lesson, but I hate to tell this on myself, but last Sunday, Brother Smith was talking about reviling. Jesus reviled not again, and we've got to learn not to revile. And he was, I hate to admit my fault, but he was talking about road rage. So Monday, I used to go eat with this older couple, eat pizza on Monday night. She died a couple of years ago, so I mean, it used to be an adventure riding with her because she had Alzheimer's, and her driving would scare me to death. But now that she's gone, why, her husband, he's 89 years old and blind, and he depends on me to take him. So I was taking him to eat pizza, so I got to this red light, and this car was right on my bumper. And I told him, I said, just as soon as I pull out, they're going to be right on my bumper. So sure enough, the speed limit was 35, and I was going 35, and he was right on my bumper. And I slowed down to 25 miles an hour, and I know he was boiling. So finally he passed me, and so, but he got held up at a red light, and I caught up with him, and I was in the left turn signal, and he was over in the lane that looks to go straight ahead, and I looked over, and he had his window down, and he was giving me a piece of his mind. I don't know what he was saying because I had my window up, but my sister, I told her about that, and she said, you know, you're going to have to quit doing that. You're going to wind up getting shot. So this man I was riding with, he said, well, just don't look in the rearview mirror. Of course, when you're on the freeway, you got to look in the rearview mirror, but I guess I'm just going to have to quit looking in the rearview mirror. He said, well, when I was driving, it didn't bother me. But I said, well, he's been legally blind for at least 30 years. I said, back then, there wasn't as much traffic and people were not as rude as they are now. But anyway, maybe that's just an excuse. I hate to admit my weakness, but you can just take the attitude, well, why don't I just give up? I'll never be like Jesus. But like Brother Smith said last Sunday, we got to keep coming. And I know in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it talks about the things that were wrought in people's lives through faith. And it said, out of faith, through faith, people out of weakness were made strong. So if I keep coming, maybe out of my weakness, I can be made strong. But anyway, I'm reading this book. He's a professor at the University of Arkansas. He's a chemistry professor. And he was raised in Europe. But he became disenchanted with religion, and he became an atheist. And he came over here, and he started studying quantum physics. And he, after studying quantum physics, he said, well, atheism is a mistake. Said it just doesn't line up with the nature of the world. So he became a believer. And it always does me good to hear about an atheist becoming a believer, especially when he's highly educated. So anyway, you know, I believe in Isaiah it says we're grasshoppers in God's sight, and but according to quantum physics, we're less than that. He says in this book, if you took all the empty space out of a man and you collected all of his protons and electrons together, he would be a little speck that it would take a microscope to see. So through all, God made us wonderful, and yet we're really just a lot of hot air, really. We're just a lot of air inside. And he said, if you take all of the nuclei of all the atoms in the world, on the globe, all the nuclei of all the atoms, and you pack them together, they would fill a space of about a few tenths of a mile, about the space of a football stadium with a parking lot surrounding it. So, you know, it's just amazing that, well, the Bible says, well, quantum physics says what God says, that it says that the things we see are not made from things that appear. That's what quantum physics says. It says what we see came from the no thing, nothing. So, it's the more they learn about how nature is, the more amazing we find how God works through his creation. But I was I was reading about Karl Marx the other day. I didn't realize Karl Marx was a Jew. I don't know how many atheist Jews there are, but of course he was an atheist, and so it kind of surprised me to find out he was a Jew. But he said that religion is the opiate of the people, that it's just a drug, that there's no God, that man just came up with this idea of God as a drug to help him cope with the harsh realities of life. So, you know, I just can't conceive of anybody that has an atheistic set mindset, but we know there's plenty of it. And so I'm thankful that I'm a believer, and I'm thankful that, like Brother Smith said today, one body, and, you know, God didn't have to include me in on this, but I'm so thankful for the vision we have, the hope we have, and what God is doing. And I just want to, I'm starting to become more regular, and I just want to take this more seriously. Like Brother Smith said, it's a serious thing that we're involved in. So I just want to be more a part of this. And I know Brother Lineker said that he'd probably have to have a resurrection, so I know that I'll have to have a resurrection. But if I keep trying, then maybe I'd like to be in the first resurrection. I'd hate to sleep for 1,000 years, but anyway, it's the wonderful hope that we have. And I just feel so fortunate that I just getting ready this morning, I just thought, you know, I've got things that my neighbors don't even have a clue about. And so I've been so blessed to be here, and I love you all, and just give God the glory.
How true that is. My God can do anything. And I was just thinking of the hardest things that I've ever gone through my life and thought there was no possible way out. God can do anything. My God can do anything. And I was thinking each one of us have a story of the hardest thing you've ever been through in your life. No matter what age you are, you've gone through something that you thought, God, there's no way I can get through this. But God can do anything. And He has. And what miracles each one of us have in our lives, and He's just so faithful. And a lot of times I just have to remind myself of that God can do anything. And like I said before, you know, I don't know why God took my father at a young age, Brother Randy. I don't know why God took Sister Jill at a young age. And I thought, you know, it's like that song, Farther Along. We'll know all about it. We don't understand. We don't have the answers now, but somewhere down the road, we'll say, God, You had a purpose in all of this in our lives. And, you know, just keep thinking that over and over. My God can do anything. And just so, so thankful. And as the scriptures came to my mind of in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I just thought, God, thank You for being so faithful. Thank You for being there time and time again, even though this things may happen that we don't understand. I know You're there, and I know You know where we are. And I'm just so thankful that to have such a mighty Father.
appreciate that, Sister Cindy. God can do anything with anything, can't he? Appreciate the song service. To know that I got to keep striving. I got to keep pressing. Keep marching on. Seems that there's so many times people start with such a bang out of the gate that they don't finish the race in quite such the same stride they start out with. Sometimes in this Christian walk, you have to end this thing with determination. And there's points along the way that God tests your determination. He tests my determination. God doesn't do anything. Jody sings a song without purpose or plan. He don't always know that purpose, and we only get glimpses of his plan occasionally. We don't see his full plan. We may see part of it and maybe think that that is all of it, but in actuality, that's just part of it. 1 Corinthians 13 says that though I look through a glass darkly, when that which is perfect has come, we could only see through a glass darkly, but at that time they could only see through a glass darkly. But when Christ came, he revealed unto them what the whole manner was. But yet man went back into a measure of darkness. And here we are on a few thousand, couple thousand years later, coming back out of the darkness. It's not noonday yet. There's still some shadow cast behind me. Still a little shadow that I can hide in. Places that I can find a respite from the trials of life. I was thinking that Brother Fleming was talking that God does everything with a plan, with something in mind. Man deals in accidental perfectness. Only man does that. See, you wonder whenever the first man made the first batch of popcorn, how did that happen? That was accidental perfectness. Just ponder that. God didn't set about a human experiment, spin it like a top on a table just to see what was going to go on with it. He knew about it. He's an all-believing God, and he's an all-knowing God. And as the song service carried on there was a phrase in that first band song there. I can't catch it. Is this it right here? Yeah, hallelujah. Something I carry... What a privilege to carry everything to God. But it's such a privilege not just to carry it to God, it's such a privilege to get to carry it for God. He's bestowed something on us. He's seen something in you that he needed and he wanted to put something in you. And you need to count that truth that you hold in your heart, Jeff. You need to count that as such a privilege to get to carry the truth of Christ in this land. It's not something to hang my head down in shame about. It's an honor. It's a privilege. Say that. Say, I'm privileged tonight. I'm sitting in the house of the King. Ain't that something? I tell people when they get to grumbling about their job out at where I work, it's a big union thing. Union, I guess they mean that's supposed to be a family. I don't know. It's more like a coalition of thieves sometimes. Sometimes I wish they'd just bust the union up. But these guys get to complaining about their job. I say, well, there's people that would swap with you. You're making $26.85 an hour. I bet I could go down the street half a block and find somebody. Matter of fact, we got a taker right here. Two of them. Anybody else? See, it's amazing, isn't it? But it's so easy to become complacent. And then after complacency sets in, it actually becomes a disdain, and at times it becomes discomforting to sit. To tolerate what's going on. I appreciate that the Lord has given us something. As a body of people, and he's got people, Proverbs the 9th chapter, it says that, speaking about religion, says that the dead are there, and that her guest, that he knows not, talking about the man, that he knew not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. There's their guest. Brother Smith said it this morning, or this morning in Bible study, or somewhere in the past week I heard him say it, that that there may be people come out of there and pass us by. People come out of that. A scripture came to my mind earlier. Yeah, right there, Proverbs 9:18 says, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that our guests are in the depths of hell." Well, that's them, folks. That's not us. We sit in such a wonderful place. But there came a time in the Old Testament, the Bible says that my people perished for lack of knowledge. They were starving to death. See, it's one thing to, you have to pardon me, I kind of got the croup. I went on a little ride yesterday evening in too cool a weather. Guess I should have ate a cough drop or something. Pardon me. But, where was I at? I lost my thought with my cough. There came a time, says that you can feed a person, that's where it's at, you can feed a person food, but there are people that are spiritually starving to death. Thank you very much. They're spiritually starving to death. And whenever you feed that sin-sick soul, the Bible says it's strong drink, doesn't it? Strong drink belongs to those that are about to perish. When someone's about to perish, they need a strong drink. I used to think that was strong meat. Does it say that in the Bible somewhere? The strong meat? Or full age, but don't. I always thought it was strong meat belongs to those that are about to perish. But it doesn't say that. Because whenever you're about to perish, you can't eat chew. You got to have something broke down fine for you. It says, "Give strong drink unto them that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart." There's some strong drink that comes forth out of this little assembly here. There's some strong spirit to counteract some heavy hearts. We need that. It's imperative. It doesn't matter what truth we have. If we don't wet it down with the Spirit of God, it's really of none effect. It'll constipate you. You ever eat too much? I know that's crude and rude and maybe somewhat socially unacceptable. I apologize. I don't know what else vernacular to put it in. But if you eat too much solids and not enough liquids, guess what happens to you? Brother, got two plumbers here. They'll tell you that what happens if you get too many solids and not enough liquids? You stop the pipe up. Man, funny how that works in the human body so much the same way. So it's imperative that we have the Spirit of God to flow in the assembly. But there came a time, and I'd like to go there, something that came to me as the song service was going. I'll make it as short as I can, because I know there's others who would like to talk. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, it says this. He says, "Behold," 59 and 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." And then he starts telling them what's fixing, what's going on. They were starving. They needed meat. They needed strong drink. They needed help. They needed some guidance. They needed somebody to take control of the situation and lead them as a people. He says, "But your hearts, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perverseness." I would like to pause just for a second to say that perverseness in the Bible a lot of times is synonymous with evil. It's not necessarily what we would consider to be lewd or so abase of things, is that it's twisting or manipulating the Word of God to a place that it doesn't and it can't work and achieve what needs to be done. See, whenever Peter, wasn't it Peter that told the Lord, went to save the Lord, and the Lord said, "What? Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, this is one of his lead men. This is his chief of the 12. This was the fastest, well, we found out later he wasn't the fastest runner. But he was the most outspoken, wasn't he? And yet, Christ told him, get behind me, Satan, for you, you desirest not, or you savorest not the things which be of God. For it is written, I thought there was another one. Is there another one that says that? Oh, yeah, right there, I'm sorry. But when he had turned and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And so he was correcting that part of Peter where Peter was in his flesh trying to achieve something instead of letting the God's will be done. And so, for some reason, that scripture comes to my mind every time I think of something being perverted. Don't think of perversion as being something that is so lewd, but it's just it's a manipulation, and it's an offshoot of using a scripture to achieve a different result. It says here, where am I? Four. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and of that which is crushed breaketh out in a viper. That would probably make a real good Bible study, them two scriptures right there, wouldn't it? Verse 6 says, their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. For their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace, they know not. That is a condition that the world gets in. See, we talk about I was born in 1970. Best thing about 70 was I came into the B, and they made the 1970 Chevelle. Those were the two best things that year. And Jody was born. So me and her and a Chevelle. I don't know what else happened in the 70s, but it couldn't have been much better than those three things, according to Jaron and Justice. But we talk about the good old days, the 50s and the 60s and the 40s. And see, we had the roaring 20s, the dirty 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. There came an annihilation, if you will, through propaganda and misteachings and the lack of passing on of the torch and the lack of communicating what truth was and righteous principles in our nation as just a nation of people. And so it chipped at and it tore at the very fabric of that society. We are at the end result of all that, because that changed in my parents' day and it changed in my day. And we deal with this in my sons. Not that they're bad. And I'll cover that in just a second. Because you got sons too. And we're all sons of God. And there's things that are propitiated through civilizations and through social declines that affect our church. And whenever a society is on the downcline, on the downswing, the church is going to know it. And the religious world is a lot the same way. A spider web, in Proverbs, is it 29th chapter it is, where it talks about that the spiders build their webs in kings' palaces. Another scripture in Deuteronomy, I believe, it talks about that you can go down to Egypt to get a covering. I heard a good message on that about going down to Egypt to get a covering. And you cannot do that. If you're a son of God, a child of God, you can't go out to religion and find a covering for you. You can't sing the songs of Zion in a strange land. It doesn't work that way. Funny how God always... I was talking to someone just the other day. I was talking to them about the Bible, and they had some questions. And we got to talking how that God kept Israel in such a state of solitude. No matter what happened to them, around them, he allowed them to be overtaken, but he always had a core of people in there that he kept from being from breeding. He kept them from developing into that society? He had to keep that lineage pure. Now, it might have only been a very small group, but he did keep it. And so whenever we look at ourselves and we say, well, why do we have to do some of the things we do? It's because God has a desire to keep his people pure to this day. If we go through Matthew or Mark and we start tracing the, or Luke it is, and start tracing the lineage of Christ to get that righteous lineage back unto Adam, to get to Christ's day, you can trace it all the way back through. But in our day, he's coming back, but he's coming back for our same people who's through the Spirit has still maintained that chastity and that right way of living. We may have changed and camouflaged with the society and the socioeconomic parts and philosophies of this world to some degree, but the thing about truth is that it doesn't change. If it was truth 2,000 years ago, just because society has changed to some large degree, we've gotten so much more advanced, aren't we? You think so? We can heal cancer. That is good. We can save a man. 100 years ago, it wouldn't have been a good deal. That's the evolution of man's reach. Whether we want to argue, whether God put that in man's mind to further himself, whatever, I can believe that. I can believe that if for no other reason God could do that just to save his very own people. Not to make the world a better place, but so he can save his very own, you and I sitting in this room tonight. And many like you and I. And there's many more out there that would love to come and sit beside you. Verse 8. The way of peace they know not. That's where I was at. And there is no judgment in their goings. There's a scripture, I believe, that says that we should seek judgment. Maybe it's a scripture I made up. But that's something I've always looked for in my life, is seeking judgment. I'm not afraid of judgment. You say, well, you must not do anything wrong. I do some things wrong. I drive fast. I got ticketed just the other day for driving fast. If I'd have been in a faster car, he wouldn't have caught me. But no. I'm just kidding you. I stopped. When I seen the lights, I pulled over. And he asked me, license, please. There you go. To show you how funny things are, this cop stops me. And to show you how things change, he comes to me. He's got tattoos all up and down his arms. I thought that was actually they couldn't do that. I thought they had to keep all that covered because that might be offensive to me. But he had tattoos all around his neck and on his throat, all over his hands, stuff. Looked like a gang member with a badge. It is scary. Yeah. I started just saying, are you really allowed to show all that? Honestly? Because we expect, see, I remember in Wilburton that when you got stopped, you used to get out of the car. Y'all remember those days? You got out of the car and the officer met you right there by your back bumper. I remember the first time I got in my car and I met the officer by the back bumper of my car. I had my hands in my pocket. I had my registration. I had my other hand in my pocket. He said, pull your hand out of your pocket. I said, do what? He said, get your hand out of your pocket. Don't stand there with your hands in your pocket. I'm thinking, why would you not want me to have my hand in my pocket? It's safer in my pocket than it is out here where I might punch you. But to him, there might be something in my pocket. Well, I don't even think like that. Nowadays, they just tell you, sit in the car. And if you're in a real bad bind and they got lots of cops, some of them are telling you, put both hands outside the door. Some are saying, put both hands on the wheel. And one, two, or three are saying, get out of the car. And that's a conflict of commands. Which do you want? If I open the door, you're going to shoot me. You are. He told me to get out of the car, and you told me to keep my hands on the wheel now. See? Even the authorities don't even know what to do anymore. There's just a conflict of commands. In the church of God, it should not be that way. There shouldn't be a conflict of commands. Let's move on with this. I want to tell you all my sins. And see here, verse 8, let me get through this one. It says, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. I wish my wife's here, she'd correct my speech here. crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. In other words, you can go in as a sin-sick soul, go into that place in Proverbs 9 we just mentioned, into that hellish condition, and live in a place that you think that you can find peace. But when you get into this thing, you cannot find peace. Peace doesn't come just by one part. Just like you can't just live off eating. Off not drinking, let me put it this way. It takes a whole diet, a whole balanced diet. Justice is big on all these things and good diets and all this stuff. And so it takes a very balanced diet, I'm finding, to grow up. And it takes a balanced diet in the house of God to grow into the measure of the full stature of Christ. My job's just to be a water boy right now. That's what I'm going to try my best to be. Hopefully it's Gatorade. But it may, you know, you might just be high-powered H2O. I don't know. It says, therefore, is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light. Could you imagine living in a condition to where no matter where you went, you couldn't find help? So many people, they just want help. Give me some food. Just yesterday, I pulled up to a gas pump. I put $8.67 into my gas tank, because that's all it'll hold. And I got ready to leave, and this lady come up to me, and she says, hey. I turn around, look, here's this lady. And she said, listen, I kid you not, there's a black BMW she just got out of, right beside me. She said, hey, I'm stranded here. And I need some gas. I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash. She didn't want gas in her tank, she just wanted cash. But figuring that she's driving a $20,000 rig and I'm driving a heap of junk, I figured she's probably better. I ought to ask her for money. So many times people, they just want something tangible to help me. Alex Weiniger just put something on her Facebook day before yesterday. It said, teach a man to fish. Wasn't that what is, I think it, I have to go back and look. You feed him for a day. I'm sorry, feed a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for the rest of his life. See, coming to the body of Christ isn't just about being fed today and going and getting a sermonette like you get at so many other places, but it's a place, it's a journey, it's an education. Well, when I came into this, I was a mechanic, but I also learned how to do some plumbing. I've also learned to do a little bit of roofing. It leaked, but I learned how to do it 3 or 4 times. And I've learned how to paint. I've learned how to do carpet. I learned how to do tile. And I'm getting better at mechanicing all along. I've learned how to talk to people and make you laugh at least. And I've learned how to just live a dedicated life, at least to where I'm not up and down and in and out and struggling with just my daily life. But so many times, it's hard to just get past that stage of our development. Little Connor's walking. I told Jody just the other night, not concerning Connor, but concerning my own family, that we live in such an age that it's really easy to be so much in somebody else's business. And yet we live in such an age where it's so easy to put your business out there. And glad to get to do it. Because you're bragging about all the stuff you just done. But then if we mention it, you don't like it. Now just hit the little thumbs up sign and post your comment. Other than that, do your thing. But it's so easy to be in somebody's business. And we get to where we're living everybody else's life and we're not living our own life. I'm trying to walk your Christian walk and I ain't walking my own Christian walk. I'm too busy trying to fix and rearrange your furniture. I'm tripping over my own furniture. And then they got Instagram. That was just Facebook. Instagram and Twitter and what's the other ones? Just spill them out there, guys. We can find them. Okay? All I got to do is do a Google search, social medias, I guess. It's funny. But we live in this age to where it's just so consuming. And we fill our life with everybody else's activity. But what about my own? I tell my kids nearly weekly, I'm so thankful to have a house. If you've never been homeless, you couldn't appreciate that. I'm so thankful to have a truck. Sure, it's not new, but, you know, it's a nice truck. It gets me around A to B. It passed everything on the road but a gas station. Ain't managed to get past one of them yet. Got a boat. Yeah, it's an old boat, but it's a nice boat. For what it is, the boat's almost as old as I am. I got a great wife who ain't here tonight. She's sick. Poor thing. I told somebody the other day, this morning, I said, well, putting up with me would make anybody sick. But I try to be easier. You know, that's Brother John McAfee who I was telling that to. I said, you know, hey, I said, my wife has managed to not cook this entire week. One night she cooked. Well, I walked up to him. I said, hey, you looking nice today. Nice suit. Sister Rochelle goes, well, he's taking dressing tips from you. I said, oh, well, that ain't good. I get them from my kids. Anyway, so then we get talking. And I tell him that, you know, Jody ain't cooked. You know, she's really good at this. He looks over at her, and she ain't cooked this week either. I said, man, we're spoiling these women. Anybody else got a wife ain't cooked much this week? Man. See, my wife works 8 hours a day, and I work 8 hours a day, but I get home earlier than her, and she comes home, she's tired. Why don't I spend a few of my dollars and take her out to eat 6 days a week? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Actually done it twice yesterday. But let's move on here. Could you imagine living in a place to where you don't need a car? You don't need a home. You don't even need friends. You don't need clothes. You have no problem seeing smiling faces. But inside you, there's something dying. Inside you, there's death works. Inside you is broke down and sad. Inside you, you need Christ ruling and reigning, but there's no place to find that. You go and you sit in a facility and you listen to somebody give little sermonettes and talk about, I just done this the other night, gave a little sermonette about how good they are, but not how good he is. How good they got it, but not how good it was that he's gave it to them. How successful they've been, but not how he's made them successful. Not how that successfulness has come through the good things God's given them, but it came through their own ability. I appreciated Brother Smith's his message this morning, his testimony and Bible study. I say, I never heard that. Y'all been around for years, and y'all known him for all these years, and I'm kind of Johnny come lately, so I've had to hear that story. Considering I've been thinking about investing into a restaurant with a friend of mine, I thought, how fitting. I perked up. I need to know before I put a barbecue place over in the East End whether or not that might be a bad thing. That's a true story. You say, well, I say, I think God talks. So I listen. So we needed to hear those things. Could you imagine living in that condition, though, to where you need to hear that? You need to hear where God gets down and works in your clay? How do you think God does that? He does that through pressure out there. He can do that through pressure in here. He has a hand. We're going to find out here. We just said that his hand is not shortened. And his ear's not heavy. He hears your cry and he hears your plea and he sees your need, but he's waiting for a response. Everything can't come from just the same stimulus all the time. Otherwise, we grow numb to that stimulus. It's just a fact. If you take the same type of medication all the time, all the time, all the time, you know that your body will actually grow accustomed to it to where it has a diminishing effect. This happens a lot in diet pills, things like that. Stimulants. Verse 9, therefore, as judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light. I'm so thankful that I didn't even know I was waiting. I'm thankful that it came one day. But behold obscurity for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. Aren't you glad? Tell yourself tonight, aren't you glad that salvation ain't far from you? But let me tell you something, it's as far from you as you want it to be. Tell yourself, I'm glad God's not far from me. But remind yourself, He's only as far from me as I want Him to be. Tell yourself that I'm glad I have the Holy Ghost. But it's as dormant as I want it to be. It's amazing, Brother Fleming, that an all-powerful God still gives me that ability to choose. Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and we're going to get to a positive part of the scripture in a minute. It's just we got to get there. Are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. You know, I've never sinned a sin that I didn't know I was doing. I never crossed a line that I didn't know I was crossing. I don't know. I've said this before, and it may bear some scrutiny, and I definitely welcome it, because I think that everything we say needs to be scrutinized, whether it would be truthful or not. But I believe that after walking that Christian walk, after so many years of walking that walk, especially where there is lots of truth revealed and a lot about the Adamic nature is revealed, that you no longer commit sins of omission. That you choose to omit that sin. Therefore, it's a sin of commission, not a sin of omission. Otherwise, we're not actually growing up. We're still retaining that little place in our heart to where we just choose to be ignorant. And I don't believe anybody in this building is that way. I know God's ministry is not that way. And I hope I'm not that way. Let's get to a positive part here, please. It said, verse 13, and transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And here is a good scripture. Verse 14 says, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. That is 21st century, our world. That is today in our present generation world. That everywhere you look for safety and security, all you behold is falsehoods and fallacies. Truth cannot enter in. And I think equity there translates to truth, if I remember right.
And you may have to look that up right quick if you want to. But I think it does translate to truth there.
That truth can't even enter into that society, because just as Jesus went into that dark world and the world, what? Knew Him not. Darkness don't appreciate light. But only those that are groping in darkness that want light appreciate that light. There are some that just choose to live in darkness and they're content to be there. Aren't you glad that you're not that person? Tell yourself, hey, I'm glad I'm not that person. Yeah, the light shines on me. Yeah. And yeah, my idea of a restaurant just might got blown out of the water this morning. But I'm not brokenhearted. I'll find another place to get barbecue ribs.
Oh, man.
Yay. Oh. Truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. He maketh himself, when you depart from that evil, see, if I'm over here and I'm a bad guy, let's say that I'm running over here in the Jeffrey Pryor gang. And I got all my cronies, got my posse with me, and we're all a bunch of baddies. And we're just as bad as it gets. And all of a sudden, I get out of that darkness. I make myself a prey because I'm no longer part of that evil. But what have I made myself a prey to? First, I've made it a prey to that evil, but all of a sudden, I've made it a prey to the Lord. He's a roaring lion, is he not? He's not going about seeing whom he can devour. He's not like the world and the spirit of the prince of the air of this world, the spirit of Satan. Yes, I'm listening. Oh. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no what? Intercessor. Therefore, his arm, remember we just read, the very first scripture says his arm is not short. Therefore, his arm, in the fullness of time, when he seen it was time, he, as Brother Paul Jones used to say, he retched back into the days of antiquity. But he reached forth and he brought his son, he brought salvation unto him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Let me tell you something. You touch somebody, you may think that you live a life all alone. Nobody cares about me. People fight that kind of depression. I'll ask everybody in this room, and I bet you if I ask a show of hands, I will say this. Maybe I'm the only one. Have you ever been in a crowded room all by yourself? You ever sat in a room full of people, shoulder to shoulder, but you're completely alone in there because there was nobody like you in there? And there's nobody talking to you in there. And there's nobody smiling at you in there. There's nobody walking up shaking your hand in there. Nobody offering you a drink. Nobody offering you something to eat. Nobody offering you anything. Everything about you was different than the place you was at. When I get in those situations, I really take a quick peek around to see where I'm at. Because I have a bad tendency. I also do this running. I found out you're not supposed to do this though. You know you're not supposed to run looking at your feet? I didn't know that. I've started running here lately and my knee kills me. That's bad habits because I've kind of gotten bow-legged as I've gotten older. I don't, it just happens. And my knee hurts real bad, so I got to looking up the 10 best things to help with running. And you're not supposed to run and look at your feet. I've always ran and looked at my feet. Of course, I ran into cars, I ran into fences, I've tripped over dogs and all kinds of stuff, okay? I was running flat out one time, ran right smooth slap over a whole row of bicycles. I mean, I had Schwinn stamped across my face for about a week. I mean, it's rough. Bad deal. Got rat trapped right on both legs. That's a true story. And I've run into walls and buildings and many other things. But I found out you're not supposed to look right at your feet. Because you don't know where you're going. If I'm going to follow the Lord, I don't think he's right here. Right there. Keep my eyes out there. Keep my head up. When you're running, you're not supposed to have your hands down here at your side. I didn't know that. I've always ran with my hands at my side. I found out later you're supposed to have them up. Well, you don't run like this either, okay? You look like, yeah, you look very bad as you go run a marathon. Your hands above you, hey. Yeah, looking at my feet, my hands up. What's going on with that guy? Number, what's my letter? 1403. What's wrong with 1403? I don't know, but send him back. He's a reject. We need somebody to do that. Lord, have somebody do that. And I don't run with my eyes closed. And I found you run with your hands open. So much of that pertains to actually running in church too and running this race of the Lord. You don't watch your feet all the time. You look ahead of yourself. That way you don't run into a mess and find yourself in a room all alone. And you don't run with your head down. You run with your head up. And you don't run with your hands made in a fist as close. One time I was trying to get the Holy Ghost. I don't remember if his brother Smith done this to me or my father-in-law done it to me. One of them done it to me, though. The three most effective ministers I've ever had in my life was Brother Smith, Brother Linegar, and my pastor, believe it or not, Brother Linegar baptized me in his baptistry. This was way back in the day, too, 1987, if I remember right. Y'all don't even remember me, do you? I kind of showed up on the scene as Jody's husband, didn't I? But I sat and I was praying, and I was like trying to get saved and get the Holy Ghost and get out of this mess. And one of them grabbed my hand, and I felt something. You sit here and you got some let go, hang on, all this stuff. Say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. All these things. I'm sitting here, I got my fist all clenched. Well, I didn't know I was doing it. And one of them grabbed my hand, they pried my hand over. You can't praise God with your hands all closed. And did you know just a simple act of opening my hands caused me to break my spirit? So many times we run this thing and we just got clenched fists, almost like, I dare you. Bless me if you can, God. Instead of running this thing with our hands open. I don't know if y'all go out and give yourself a heart attack not running around your trailer houses trying to do this, okay? All right. Or property, I should have said. Verses 60 and 19. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Funny, it didn't say it, said him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon me, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth. This ties in with Brother Smith's scripture this morning in 1 John, that if the Spirit of God, the Word of God remains in you, makes you where you cannot sin. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'll wrap it up right with that one. And we hear this a lot. And I asked this last Sunday, how much truth do we have to know before it's enough? And can you know too much? See, I don't want to be a person. If you ever worked in, you ever work around somebody that all of their ability is just book knowledge? I mean, they can tell you every aspect, but they have no real world experience. They have no real world. They ain't got their hands dirty with it, so to speak. I don't know another way of putting that. If you ever want to see somebody like that, come work with me. I'll hire a guy straight off the street out of school, and you can work with me for a week, and you'll get to see what that's like. Because they can tell you everything about this big diesel engine, but they can't even change the spark plugs in it. Seeing how many mechanics we got in the room. See what I mean? Just for you that are not in the know, diesels don't have spark plugs. Now, Ephesians 4, it seems like we are constantly just working this ground here. We're just repetitively working the same piece of dirt. And I want to know, is it producing this past year, my wife decided they make these things called flower pot or windowsill flower garden or windowsill gardens or something. It's like this thing you put out there by your windows, put a little dirt in it, and you put your little squash. Okay, so she had a better idea than that. She decided right underneath the rain gutter at my shop at the house, she's going to plant squash. I said, baby, I don't think it's going to work. Now, the ground has beat in like this right here, and it's just solid rock. So she gets out there, and she's digging on it. She finally gets enough little stuff. She gets the seeds all in the ground. Actually, she didn't buy seeds. She bought little baby plants about that big. I said, I don't think they're going to make it. First of all, they get absolutely cooked all day, all morning, all day. It's the only part of my yard that never sees the shade. It's right there in that little ditch, basically. And then when it rains, it gets the whole roof worth of runoff right on top of it. It takes a balanced diet to grow. If you want to know that you cannot be sustained, I tell you what, I will buy you, but you got to promise you'll do it not cheap. I will buy you a case of infamy. You drink that 3 times a day for 14 days, and let's see how you feel at the end of it. I guarantee you, you're going to be begging for some solid something, okay? No joke, you'll eat your fingernails just to get anything solid in your body. Because you can't live just off water and spirit alone. It takes some meat. Just like you couldn't live off meat, it takes some water. Those little squashes, they never stood a chance. They was in the hardest dirt on my property, and they got absolutely saturated every time it rained. So I don't want to just keep working this same little piece of dirt just to realize that this little thing here can't grow something. And to show that truth has something, but it's how truth is administered. He says here, and we'll just start here. Good Lord. We'll start here at 11, 4 and 11. Good as jump off places any. Well, let's jump up here on 8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended from far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave, this is Jesus, this is what it's talking about. And Jesus gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, teachers, or pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. That perfecting there, in my word, in my mind, is an action word. It requires acting upon. But it's not a policeman's job, but it's, as Brother Smith said earlier today, and I thought he did a fine job this morning, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, if you tie this scripture, verse 14, back in with Isaiah, where we're at, says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Verse 15, this is the one I want to get to. But speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. When you hear the truth of the Bible spoken, there should be something in your heart. And you know, you feel the love of the person administering that. Jesus, I will point this out just for future consideration. Jesus didn't work against the society. He worked on the institutions that allowed the societies to develop that to that condition. We are held in check in this nation by religion. Brother Smith tells us that it's the moral majority that's really holding this thing, and I believe that. When Jesus came, he preached against the scribes and the Pharisees. He tried to straighten them out. He told them how they went wrong. He didn't go and tear up all the little low people. I'll let you decipher that. But speaking the truth in love may grow unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is my favorite scripture. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That is quite a mouthful. It's quite a mouthful. Your joints can't sustain your weight if your weight has too much flesh on it. For every 1 pound over your ideal body weight, you add 4 pounds per square inch to your knees. For every 1 pound of body weight, it's 4 pounds extra per square inch on your knee. That body can only sustain so much. So it is in here. A body can only sustain so much. And I think that what Brother Smith's working on, I think he's encouraging us. And that's what I was saying about this song. It's a privilege, is it not, to carry this truth? But I don't want to sit back too long. I don't want to sit back too much. I don't want to become too lax and too at ease in Zion. I don't want to sit back and let somebody else do my task. I sure don't want you to take my chair. And whenever you feel the truth or you hear the truth being administered, you know you should feel something in you. You should feel a comeback from God that, yes, that sounds right. That makes sense. Sometimes I wonder if common sense hasn't left this world. I see some of the craziest things. I think, man, ain't nobody. Am I the only one in this world's got any common sense left? And then Jody says something to him, and I think, maybe I ain't. I'm going to leave you with that, okay? I appreciate the Lord. I don't want to just walk as this next verse says, to walk not as other Gentiles walk in just the vanity of their mind. That is somebody that just walks with head knowledge, with no real-world application. But I count it as an honor. I count it as a privilege. We should all, if you are born in here, whether you're 8 or 80, if you're in this building, if you're serving God, if you've got the Holy Ghost, if you have these truths, what do you think it is that's held you on this course all these years that has given you that staying power and that power of commitment? That is something that Brother Smith talked on here a while back that this world is missing. It's just a good old-fashioned commitment. When we look back, Sister Bryant, when we committed to this, we didn't look back, did we? No, we didn't. I did one time. I quit for 5 weeks. I got frustrated. I decided I'm done with serving God and I'm going to quit. I'm quitting. And I walked out the church building. Now I'm a pretty good driver. And I'm a really hard worker. And many other things that are pretty decent, that make me a pretty decent guy. I had 2 car wrecks and I broke my fist in a fight. And actually, the fight wasn't a real fight. I'll tell off on myself. I was so mad at the person I loved the most that I really intended to hit her, but she was just quicker than I thought. And when she moved, I hit the corner of the wall. And this was an old house, and apparently they've got studs on each side of the corner, and I didn't know it. And I punched through the sheetrock, and I broke my fist. The first time I've ever admitted that one. Thank God I didn't hit her. Brain to what it had done. But my life had gotten so out of sorts, out of kelter. I was too busy looking at my feet. I was too busy running with my hands closed. I was too busy worrying about everything right here, and I wasn't taking care of what really needed to be taken care of. I was doing, what is it? You pay tithe of me and Anderson coming, but you omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. I found myself in that condition. Thank God it was early on. I don't think I'm the only Christian in this room that's ever had to walk through that. But we've all made it through those days, haven't we? We've all made it through those struggles of life. And we're all sitting in here, and I appreciate you listening to me. Hope you get something out of it. But we're all sitting here, And we're still running this race. And whether if Jesus Christ walked in that door right now and said, okay, boys, we're out of here, or he don't come in this lifetime for me, because my lifetime may end in the morning, I'm still going to keep running. I'm running to daylight. And as that song says, I must run on. I appreciate. It's a privilege. Raise your hand. Tell God it's a privilege. It's a privilege to get to serve you, Lord. It is an honor to get to be your son in the gospel. It's an honor to get to be a daughter of Zion, living in 21st century America with a vision and a purpose and just a good old-fashioned committed desire to be successful as a Christian. If I can do that, then I may have achieved something. And if I can save my two boys, God knows I'm trying, and they're saved. I ain't dropping the ball on them. God ain't dropped it on me yet. So I love the Lord. Thank you.
been a good day today. I appreciate the Lord and each one of you being here. I might mention before we leave that, you know, that we're having this, the minister's meeting, November the 12th. We'll be having this next Saturday. It'll be a work day, 8:30 in the morning. If you are, if you can work in this meeting and you don't have a specific job, please let us know so that we can, I'm sure can need every help, bit of help we can get. And so if you have some, you know, even if you are doing some things, but you know that you're not going to, you know, you're going to have some times that you're available to help in different departments, if you'll let us know, we'll find a place to, that you can help us in. So please let us know if you can help us work in the meeting. We, let's see, what did we discuss that we needed? We'll need some servers to serve the, in the meals downstairs. The first group of sitting, we always just sit the people and serve them the food with trays. And that generally takes some young men. They're strong enough to carry a tray with several plates on it. And what else did we mention we needed? Anybody remember? We do possibly need, if you have a minivan that you could let transportation use, see Brother Brett Weiniger. You probably need a van that he could go to the airport and pick people up and to the motels and pick them up. So we could probably use one or two of them. If you've got one, it would suffice us not to have to rent any. Brother Boyd? Yes, Brother Daniels is going to need help in the sanitary department, and he's got some of the younger boys, I think, Brother Nethaniah and Brother Ethan. I think y'all have been volunteered, whether you know it or not, but we probably need some little bit bigger ones, too, to help out, so if you can help in that department. Yes, and Brother Field probably need a few to help him out in making sure the church is ready for the next day. We may need some vacuuming done and just checking the pews and make sure that and the bathrooms are clean for the next day. And one thing we didn't discuss today was the cleaning up of the dining room after we served the meals. So we Sister Ann wasn't here, so there's some things we discussed about the kitchen that wasn't able to cover. Anyway, be thinking and praying about the meeting, and remember this, that these people are the most precious people on the face of the earth that are coming to grace and our assembly and our city, and they're the men of God, and we want to treat them with high respect and honor and charity. I hope that when they leave here they can say, I tell you, those Little Rock people are the sweetest, friendliest people that I've ever met before. And they put a feeling in their heart that they'll always want to come back here for another meeting. And then pray for the meeting, that God will come in and meet our needs and give us direction for the body of Jesus Christ, and that we would receive things that would benefit the people of God. All right, God bless you. Let's give God a praise, yes? Let's pray for her right now. Thank God for the day we've had. Oh, God, touch Sister Angie Elder, Lord. Touch her right now. Help her, oh, God, with this condition in her heart, Lord. Oh, God, be mindful of her, her serving you these many years, oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, God, for your mercy, your great grace, oh, God. Thank you, oh, God, for your touch on our lives. For this day, we give you praise, Father. Amen, amen.